Listeners, before today's episode, I want to take a moment to talk about something very important. About 87% of our listening audience is male. So Men's Mental Health Awareness Month is something that I think we should all be mindful of, both for ourselves and for each other. It wasn't until a few years ago that I even knew June was dedicated to men's mental health, and I think this says something about how little attention many of us give to our own emotional well-being. So today, I want to talk about some sobering statistics and what we can do about them. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, men can experience depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, and other mental health conditions, just like women. However, culture, fatherhood, race, and socioeconomic status can all affect how men experience and address mental health struggles. Recognizing the unique warning signs in men is vital, because early intervention and treatment can save lives and improve outcomes. Around 1 in 10 men experience depression or anxiety, but less than half receive treatment at all. Even more alarming, men are 4 times more likely to die by suicide than women. Given how many men never seek professional help at all, it's likely that many others struggle in silence. It really isn't surprising when so many men can say that they felt pressure to shove their feelings down. Just keep grinding, or simply, keep your head up, right? According to Psychology Today, around 70% of men avoid seeking help until they have reached a full breaking point. So, why is this important to me? Well, because I, like many of you, have struggled with self-worth, depression, and even thoughts of suicide. One of the best decisions I ever made was recognizing those thoughts weren't healthy, and I got help. Now, I consider myself lucky, because I know not everyone gets that same opportunity. And I know some of you listening to this may be dealing with similar struggles right now. So I want to say something very simple. Your family, your friends, your community, the people around you, need you more than you know. If you or someone you know is struggling, please reach out. It takes courage to step outside your comfort zone, but it's so very important. Talk to a trusted friend, family member, pastor, counselor, or even someone in this community. Get involved in a local game, join a church or charity organization. Being a part of something, and believe it or not, serving others, can do wonders for your mental health. Most of all, one of the biggest problems is isolation. Isolation is the first step to some of these unhealthy thoughts taking root. And that is where this change can save a life. I think what this comes down to is, remember this. The world is better with you in it. And I mean that with my whole heart. So please, check in with the other men in your life. Not just for you, but also for them too. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy the episode. I want to know if you guys have seen this show, because I feel like it's not talked about, and I don't know why, because it was a very, very good one. There was a show on Discovery Channel called Junkyard Wars. Have any of you heard of this?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I've heard of the knockoff called Scrapyard Wars.
It probably was the same people that did it, but
No. That Linus Tech Tips ripped off. Did it for tech.
Yeah. But the Junkyard Wars was just they gave them a task. It was build a boat, a functional boat with a motor on it. And then they were in some junkyard somewhere. I don't know where it was. But then these teams had to go into this junkyard, get materials and put things together and slap these things together and make whatever they were trying to do. Like for the boat thing, they had to make sure they got a motor that spun correctly, and they had to work on it. And it was kind of cool. It was sort of Mad Max sort of thing, where it was we're gonna give you this task and then you're gonna hobble these things together, which are absolute crap,
but they're gonna work. And if the boat doesn't sink, you win. And like, that was cool. And I'm like, how have people not tried to do this show again? Because it sounds like really cool, and I feel like that sort of like Discovery Channel like inventor thing was like a really cool thing. That and like if you remember like BattleBots, where they would just like put the robots into like the giant cage.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think that there was one in particular because it was like on MPT, so it was like Maryland Public, television. And I just remember one of the robots was just like a ramp with like a trigger that just launches it. So like it runs really fast, and then it just flips the other car. It was just super fast, and you were just like, oh, okay, well, the fight's over, and that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, those kind of shows, I feel like, maybe because I don't have cable or anything anymore, I feel like maybe I just don't have access to them, but I'm just like, how are these not super popular? Because I loved these as a kid, and they were super cool. And I'm like, do we just not do those? Are those just not a thing anymore? There's a bunch of shows out there that I'm just like, we should bring that back. We should bring that kind of show back.
I remember we actually used to watch Junkyard Wars in like the middle of the day on Discovery Channel, and I remember it being amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I'm not crazy. I think today's episode, I think we'll talk about TV shows because I have a movie that I feel like nobody's watched either. So like, I'm glad somebody's telling me I'm not crazy that this show actually existed.
And the thing about like this Junkyard Wars thing, there's only more trash. There's more opportunities to do other things, you know? Like, I don't know, make a GPS tracking drone from this junkyard. Like, yeah, you could do that these days, you know? People are throwing away drones all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, because I get attacked by birds and shit, so.
Well, the show that I am positive, like, I could probably swear on a book or something they all have not heard, is called WKS. And I know you guys haven't seen it because the pilot came out like 8 months ago or something.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, like, you guys have definitely not seen this. And WKS stands for Who Killed Sears? The department store.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a comedy by Chris Says Comedy, and it is all of the major retailers personified or anthropomorphized.
Yes, yeah. That's the right term,
yeah.
Got it.
And oh my gosh, it is freaking hilarious. So go check it out. I think only the first episode's out so far because, you know, it's expensive to animate. Awesome.
Okay, animated. Okay, yeah. I don't know if I missed that. Yeah.
Oh man, speaking of animated, I don't know, just because I was kind of more in the situation where I didn't have cable growing up, so it was pretty much just dependent on antenna.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one show that every so often it comes back to me, is fucking Ace Lightning.
And it, okay.
Yeah, it is because this is why I was like, oh, it's Maryland Public, Public Television. And guess why? Because it was produced by the BBC. So it's like British broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And so like, it's all kind of weirdly British in certain ways and stuff like that. But it was like such a weird show because it was, God, I'm trying to remember. Like, I had to look when it came out, but it was like, early 2000s. So the CGI is kind of, strange.
Is that the one that it kind of looks like a reboot? Like that era.
Kind of, yes. Yeah. And it like basically involves a freak storm, and then the particular Ace Lightning comes out of a video game or something, and then all the villains come out as well, and he's basically like trying to wreak havoc in reality, and it just turns into a weird clusterfuck just because it's this British kid dealing with this 3D horror of a man.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I pulled up the images. They are not flattering.
Uncanny Valley. But God, it was like, remember? I was like, that was a show. That was exactly a show. Yes, I remember it now. And, and the villain was Lord Fear, and he was a lich, and it was just, and he like lived in a carnival.
Okay, Lord Fear of being a lich and living in a carnival is kind of metal, actually. That's pretty sick.
It's such a weird fucking CGI, too. It's terrifying, to be honest.
The way when you had said that it was a British show, it reminded me of the Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd Century.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a good one. That was a good. I liked that. It was. I don't remember why they brought Sherlock Holmes back. I think was it something like Moriarty came back, and then they were like, "Well, there's one man."
I remember this specifically because I used to watch it all the time because it was one of those shows that just came on all the fucking time, and it was like he somehow got put in a preservation tank under Scotland Yard or some shit like that.
Yeah,
and Moriarty was actually a clone.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I remember Moriarty was a thing because he has to be. Like, they have to have that dichotomy of, like, Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty. Yeah, okay.
The 22nd century capital. Tell me, where's the opium?
I'm surprised he didn't do that. I remember one of the episodes, like, he had a robotic Watson, basically.
Yeah.
And Sherlock hated it so much. He's just like, that is not Watson. This is not my friend. And then he bonds with the robot.
Yeah. God, yeah. I remember referencing that Watson on some point because he pretty much has like space marine armor on or something or like similar to that. I was like, why is this show good? It's like, usually don't get shows that have like this kind of like flair and like design from like, you know, public television. But yeah, they hit the mark on that. Whoever they got to make that was on the right track.
Ace Lightning has a PC game and it is still playable with a little bit of tinkering. So,
oh my god,
you gonna play that on stream?
We gotta play it right now.
No, I will.
Fuck
not.
This recording.
You have to get like an FPS limiter because there's no limiting already the game, so it'll just shoot to like 1,000 FPS and the jump animation will like glitch out.
Oh no.
It's too strong. The computer's too strong for it.
The computer's too strong.
So we're actually downloading Ace Lightning himself into our motherboards. It's too much.
Wait, he's coming out of the screen.
he comes alive. Finally.
Sorry to inform the DPS Nation. Tim's PC exploded and he died. Very weird.
Ace Lightning. But in his place, we welcome Ace Lightning.
Ace Lightning, hey man, look, we haven't rolled up characters in a while. Let's roll up a character right now.
Oh, he if I remember, he can summon lightning, so that's kineticist, I think, right?
There you go. Oh my god, are you telling me we're going to build Ace Lightning
Pathfinder? I think that's all we have to do now.
Do you see the shoulder pads on this man? He's ready for combat.
All right, so let's start off with a strong level 14 kineticists, Ace Lightning. he's got we got to have some tinkering in here though, because you know the whole like futuristic thing, I think.
Yeah, he could be from what's that place in Pathfinder?
Place with guns.
Well, where is that?
The Mana Waste or something.
Yeah,
right?
Where like that it's extraterrestrials or something over there.
Oh man, oh my gosh, Kelly, you would remember this. What was the place called with the guns?
The place with the guns. Wait,
what are we doing? In Pathfinder, in Galarian.
Texas. Oh, the Mana Wastes. Alkenstar.
Alkenstar, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
I like my answer better.
The place with the guns.
The place with the guns.
Aliens and guns.
I want to remind you guys, have a gun. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not on the treasure sheet anymore, so I think we...
It was, like, impossible to use.
Yeah. Whoa. I think we might have sold it to some unsuspecting merchant.
some guy.
I think Kezra could have easily used it, because I think it required a crafting check.
Yeah, it required a crafting check. Kezra was the only one who could use it. It was all right, but...
Not anymore. Do you hear Wizard with a gun?
Wizard with a gun.
The classic trope.
Wizard with Guns, I think, was a video game, wasn't it? Was it a show or something like that? I don't know. Well, we are focusing not on a wizard with a gun, but a wizard with some intel. Because at the very end of last episode, you all were searching around and you were investigating what was going on with the Smithing Guild. And you guys were onto something because you figured out that there was something happening that was shady and sort of under everybody's nose. And you guys were getting ready to investigate when we shifted over to Sandor, who had followed Commander Hammersong. And after about an hour of waiting, he saw Hammersong walk out with the head of the Stonemasonry Guild, Colaroon Chiselrock.
Oh, I missed completely that it was the head of somebody.
Really?
You're like, with the head.
I don't know why. I thought they just like arrested them. The head. Okay.
Yes. So the guild leader of the Stonemasonry Guild, Colaroon Chiselrock, is now in manacles walking back to the barracks with Commander Hammersong, who is, incidentally, and as Sandor would know this, is going to cause a lot of problems because it's one guild leader arresting another guild leader.
Yep.
So, Sandor, you have the floor right now. You see what's going on.
Bust him out, Sandor! Bust him out!
Take this, pigs!
Chain lightning! And then...
Tactical nuke incoming! I currently don't know where everyone else is, because Sandor, with all of his big brains, is just like, I'm gonna go walk up by myself.
Yeah, I mean, you left us at the barracks, so that's where you would think we were.
Yeah, Sandor's not going to do anything while the guards are arresting this person. I would be just stupid. So, hood up. He is going to make his way back to the barracks.
All right. You make your way back to the barracks. There's a... if you're trailing them, that's fine. If not, then they have about that, 5 to 10 minute head start on you. Mm-hmm. But regardless, there's some tension after Hammersong brings in Chiselrock. He did not say who he was bringing in. You just knew that it was like somebody from another guild, and so you're like, oh, this might be bad. But now you know it's very, very bad.
Yeah.
Go ahead and... do you have like a society check or anything like that? Because I know that
I do have society, but I also have dwarven lore. I mean...
Okay, so yeah, roll whichever one of those would work better here, because you're with the tension in the air. I want to see if you kind of pick up as to like what you think is going to be happening.
Okay. Oh yeah, dwarf lore is way better than my society by a wide margin. Tim, what's 16 plus
22? Whoa, that's 38.
When you get back and like you realize that people have seen, Hammersong did not make it. He did not keep it on the DL who he was arresting when he was walking him back to the barracks. They didn't put like a bag over his head or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh no, things are going to be happening in the streets, because when one guild, guilds will like compete with each other and stuff like that, but when one of them is straight up like arresting another one, there's like corruption charges and there's like all sorts of shit that like goes down. And so you're like, mm-hmm. Oh no, the Stonemasonry Guild is now going to be sticking up for their guy, while the Guild of Arms is going to be sticking up for their guy. And that's kind of where you're at. There's a very strong political tension in the air right now. And it's starting to build, I should say. It's starting to build.
Okay. I can see that my new best friends aren't in the barracks, right?
Yeah. When you go through, you see that there a whole shift change has happened since you've left.
Can I ask around very quickly to see if anyone in the barracks knows where they went?
Would they know where you went? I don't know if they would.
I mean, I'm asking if I can ask somebody. I know no one in here knows exactly where they went.
No, I know. Yeah, I mean,
Come on, everyone, let's go to the fire, Earth Fire District. Garn declared loudly before he left.
So you, when the guys tells you that, that Lumpy Dwarf explained very loudly that they were going to the House of Oaths.
I would also say that if they just they went that direction, that would also help.
Yeah. So yeah, you find out through talk that that they went to the smithing guilds. So you know there's a bunch of shops there. Whatever's happening there has to do with something with the smithies or weapons and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's going to start making his way in the direction that, and he assumes he's just going to hear somebody yelling and be like, "Yeah, that's Kezra."
Squall to your shirt.
I'm not always yelling.
He declares loudly.
Shut up, I don't always yell.
So when you guys are making a plan as to how to investigate this, Sandor shows up and he looks a little concerned.
Ah, Sandor, you look like you've seen a ghost or undead, which I guess would be frequently.
We have to be careful. The streets are about to be unsafe. They just arrested the head of the Stonemasons Guild.
They did what now?
Oh dear.
I give him the whole scene of what happened, the scenario.
Oh my. I must go to my cousin at once.
This is not good.
No. If anyone would know what to do, it would be to be Cousin Stoneborn.
Alright, is it just you going, or is everybody else going as well, or are they staying to do the... you guys were talking about doing a stakeout, I think.
Yeah, that's like at night.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, that'll be later.
Yeah,
that'll
be later.
Okay. I don't know what time it is. So.
Are they going to... Real quick, do you guys explain to me that we are looking for somebody?
Oh. On the way, I think. On the way to Fraston. I almost forgot our entire business here. We'll... Kezra has quite the eye for crafting, as you may or may not know, and Ambrose are away with words, and we have deduced that there is someone planting counterfeit goods in the market. We think that it has been distributed at a certain cadence, and we've perhaps narrowed it down to one or two locations that we are planning staking out tonight. That seems a little not as important if this whole city is going to be turned to chaos, but hopefully we'll have time to do that for... I suspect that if we pull on this thread, maybe the whole thing will unravel.
Also, don't forget to tell him about the guards, brother.
I didn't have anything else to add. Kezra, did you have something to say?
Yes, we're looking for a missing guard the other night.
That's right.
When we were...
The one who gave you a smooch on the cheek,
I thought,
right?
You wanted me to tell the story. So there he was, smooching me on the cheek.
Damn, this is good. Okay, so yeah, we get all that information. I might be able to help with that, but let's go.
All right, so you guys are heading back to Fraston then?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
All spells, go to church.
Take me to church.
Preach!
Can we start praise dancing? You guys get back to Fraston Stoneborn's church to Torag. And he greets you all.
Any news on that missing person, cousin?
This is the mark, right?
Yes, this is the mark, the newlywed, yeah.
I regret that we have not come to you sooner. We have been quite in a mess, in a tangle, it would seem, but we have the only thing we know about the mark is that he might have been in a place that we were. But I cannot, and he kind of shifts his eyes around. Cannot discuss it here, cousin. Can we go somewhere where you can guarantee privacy?
Yes, in my office back here. And he leads you back to the place that you guys had talked with the wizard when you had spoken with him before.
Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know if you all remember it, but when Garn was a war priest, he had an ability where he could, like, kind of cast some sort of dome where he could kind of block out, like, outside noise. It was kind of like a silencing spell, but kind of in the reverse. So as he gets into the office, he's like, cousin, let me ward this place. And he just holds out his hands.
And well, he just go
looks.
On.
I, never mind. Hey. And he just kind of, he looks a little befuddled, like, usually this works. He kind of shakes out of his reverie, and he's like, Zamak, yes, well, we came across someone who says they might have seen him. They were taken captive. We believe that it was the Scarlet Triad, the one that we've been searching for, infiltrating, impersonating guards here in the city, and they captured someone else from another guild, Algrit. She was missing as well, and she's the one who thought she might have heard a man that fits Zamak's description. Ornery, loud, annoying, newly married. But she did not see him personally. She thinks he was moved before she was placed in that horrible place. Well, we saved Algrit, and we followed up with Hammersong about these guards that were acting quite strange. And we found out that they weren't supposed to be guarding that place. They acted against the wishes of Hammersong, without his knowledge, in fact. And what is more, one of the guard's brothers is missing now. One of the ones that was guarding this place. Just seems to be too much going on. And then, Sandor, what was it that you said you saw again?
He describes the scene of the guy getting arrested.
Frashton is clearly taken aback, and he just goes, well, Kalarun, I trust Hammersong, but this is simply too far.
He starts like pacing in the room. The scene
between two guilds fighting, can't possibly happen. For now, we will make sure to keep everybody their heads cool. For now, just make sure you don't get into any fight yourselves. I imagine that there'll be some brawls in the street by this time tomorrow if word gets out.
That's why we came to you, Frashton. You know that the divine magics can grant the ability to calm a person's emotions and give them a moment of clear-headedness so that sense can be talked into someone. Tell me, are you and your priests equipped to prepare for this sort of event happening in the city?
The wall
is a tenuous situation. A breach in here is a breach out there, is it not?
Yes, we can do our best to calm, but we can't be everywhere at once.
Agreed. I don't suppose you have anyone in your connections who knows any darker magics, do you?
Darker how? He's kind of confused by your question.
Speaking of enthralling magics.
But you wanted me to cast Dominate on people?
Not Dominate. You know that's only a single target casting. I'm talking about Enthrall. A mass of people. A large area within earshot. It is not something the divine grants. It is something that is found through occult means.
Yes, I would imagine so. That's why we protect against it, cousin.
I'm just saying that if there's anyone here in this city knows it, if there's anyone here in this city that knows it, it may be the one thing holding this place together. Would you rather have our brother's blood on your hands? Or would you rather cast a spell that is maybe a little unethical, but will ultimately save lives? I leave that decision to you, because I know you will make the right one.
And I leave it to Torag, whose name means justice and protection. Everything will be fine, brother. If things get out of hand, I will step in.
Unfortunately, brother, you know I will have to step in.
Then I know you'll do the right thing.
He's kind of like putting it on you, like protection.
And I'm like manipulating people's minds.
And you're like, yes, toppling the pillar of heaven. Yes.
Meanwhile, he's like, don't get into any fights in the streets. Cuts to Kezra in a fist fight already in the streets.
This place is great.
Bringing the information there to Fraston is actually a big deal, because he'll be able to kind of prepare those things. They don't know how it's going to happen, but the two guilds fighting each other is not great.
I have a note actually about Calera and Chisel Rock that might kind of give us some indication of why he was arrested. I can't believe I wrote this down. So during the council, when we were like talking, you know, and getting a vibe of everyone, it's like Hammer Song, you know, he's like of war and stuff like that. And Adorn Starsk is like, oh yeah, all about the clothes. But Calorin, in parentheses, I have, didn't finish wiping. I mean, honestly, that's a crime. And I'm glad, I'm glad he's in manacles.
I don't know what the joke was, but it's really funny.
Well, I will say, like, depending on how many people it is, I can definitely do a group impression for diplomacy.
Oh, sick.
So, okay.
All right. So,
So I could try that, but at the same time, I'm trying to formulate what words I should use in this case, besides saying, oh, brothers, you know, as this outsider going, hey, y'all stop fighting. It's bad.
Yeah. Are you in human form during this, or are you tiefling?
He's tiefling for me. He can't go into human form anymore right now.
Yeah, so. And I don't know how many people it is, but I can cast a lot of fireballs.
Everybody chill the fuck out.
Start toasting dwarves.
Everyone chill the fuck out, or we're gonna light it up.
looks like meat back on the menu, boys. No more crabs and mushrooms for us.
So, Fraston is thankful that you brought him the information. So to kind of let you guys know, so the Hammersong was like ahead of the guard. Kalaruk Chiselroom was, while he was a guild leader, he was just one of the main guys on the wall. So like he was commanding guys, but Hammersong was like his boss essentially in the guard itself. So he was a guild leader. And so that might help kind of like magnify why this looks so bad, because it's like it was Hammersong's subordinate, you know, in the town guard,
right,
but also another guild leader, and so it like looks extremely bad. But yeah, so the Fraston would also kind of explain that stuff to you as well. So, but for now, he just says that if you guys could continue doing your tasks, your investigations and stuff like that, and then if they need you, they will make sure to communicate to you some way.
Send a bat.
But I was going to send a beetle.
Oh, that works.
But then the beetle will be eaten by a bat.
And then we're back to square one.
A bat would see much faster.
Plus they're cool and they can echolocate.
We're just saying a bat would be way cooler.
Yeah.
Well, the bats would be cooler now that I think about it. All right, I'll send it back.
I already invested all that money in messenger beetles. Why did I do that?
Did you at least train them to eat a data center GPUs?
That was phase two. All right, so you guys have delivered that to Fraston. And yeah, if you guys want to go back and do the stakeout, do that.
Yeah, because I mean, getting involved in a guild war. yeah, but like getting involved in something like that, I mean, that's, God, like as much as like the diplomacy I have is fine, I don't know, trying to convince that many people just to chill out, like, hey, your boss is being arrested. Chill, alright? I'm sure it's nothing. I mean, I just don't know how to formulate something for it right now.
Real quick, are we going to get a long rest anytime soon? Because I've used a lot of spells.
I mean, you can sleep during the stakeout.
Yeah, I need a good rest too.
Yeah, you sleepy? You little sleepy guys?
Yeah. I mean, we just had combat after combat, so...
what, two leg serpents really, really, really suck the magic out of
the casters? There's also the devil, the demon from hell, and, you know, two leg serpents.
Yeah, stuff like that. But
this has all been in the same day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sandor's only been with these cats one day.
He's a little EP, okay?
I mean, we could plan to do the stakeout. It's in, like, a cadence, so we could do the stakeout tomorrow night. We can see what holds for the city tomorrow.
Sure.
I'm fine with that.
I mean, I suppose that works. It's just that, like, if we already have an idea what the stakeout entails, I'm just trying to... I don't know. Like, it feels like time's of the essence half the time on all this.
I mean, if we think we can get long rests in while we stake out, I think that's fine.
I don't think we would. Like, if this is happening at night, you're gonna get like an hour or 2 hours in your rest, and then it's gonna be go time again. And I don't know. Maybe for those that prepare spells, maybe there's a spell that would be particularly suited for this.
Stakeout,
like some sort of restraining spell.
Fireball.
He's like, that's a solution for everything. And just...
I technically have a wand of web that we got a million years ago. I just never used it.
Great opportunity.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm fine pushing it one day.
Okay.
Like, it's been happening for a month, you know?
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, if you guys want to go rest, you can. Let me know if there's anything else you want to do in the night. If you guys want to go shop for things, you can do that. If you want to just
is it still like the afternoon?
I would say it's the afternoon at this point. Time has been completely lost to me. But
I do actually want to go back to since we were just at the Earthfire District. Want to know if good old Goldbeard can swap a rune for me.
Oh yeah.
It takes like a day to affix a rune, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He can definitely do that for you. And then he'll charge you whatever the regular amount would be.
Oh, I'd expect nothing less.
Yeah. I mean, he's not an idiot.
I mean, he could be.
but he's not.
But he's not.
Okay, so you guys go back. You go back there. Goldbeard is more than happy to help you with that. If you are, what are you leaving with him?
The Morningstar.
On the Morningstar. Okay, all right.
Morningstar.
Okay, so yeah, he'll leave that. He'll take that, and he'll give it to like his best employee, his best teacher. And he said that you can have it tomorrow.
Get it back.
You will get
it back, and it cracks. He's just like, oh shit!
Oops! Dang it! Sorry.
I would like Sandor, while he's doing that thing with the rune, I would like to, after learning about this missing guard, Sandor would like to go to the barracks, find his brother, and see if his brother has any physical thing that his brother owned.
Yeah. So their bunks were they slept in the same bunk beds. He's got like a footlocker. He's got like basic blankets and stuff like that. The barracks, they don't really have like personal possessions there. But
yeah, we don't need to spend much time here. Just he touches stuff that was owned by this person, and he knows his name. And
yes.
Sandor will then come back to everyone else.
Okay. Yeah.
I think his name was Osen.
It was.
Okay, all right.
Ambrose, I think he would like where the conflict might, you know, break out and stuff. He's not going to be in the mix of it, but he is going to be kind of like eavesdropping on it, though. Like, he is actively trying to gather information, hear from both sides kind of situation. He just wants to see how bad it could get, so to speak. So, I mean, because it just feels like, you know, going and drinking would be just completely non-useful. So he wants to try to information gather as much as possible.
Go ahead and do I would say diplomacy, and that's only to like know where to be to get the information. Not that you're talking to people, but like going where you know that people will be talking about it. Which there's a whole bunch of taverns, so you're just using diplomacy to pick the right one.
God damn, 18, 40.
Okay, you go to a spot where you know a lot of guild members go at night, and you see that they're not as friendly as they usually are, and they're sort of mumbling back and forth, and you can hear one of them is just like,
"Well, I'm gonna say anything. You've been staring for hours," and the other guy's like, "No, I can't. It's just." Can't think Hammersong would have done it for no reason.
And then you hear another one who's like, "Stop staring at us!
You know he fucked up. You know he did nothing wrong."
And you can hear that people are just like, meh, 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 meh.
"Oh yeah,"
getting real, real, real antsy. It seems.
Oh boy. So he's just. Kind of just probably sipping, just kind of like the guy at the bar going like, "Oh, okay, let's go."
Just the guy that's just there.
Yeah,
the guy
yeah.
Just chilling.
Yeah, I'll pretend I'm a regular. Ignore
me, I'm just sipping on my gin and juice.
Yeah. He's more of a wine person than anything else. Do dwarves have wine? I'm sure they do.
Yeah. Mushroom wine.
Ooh. It's a brown wine they call whiskey.
It comes in a tall stem glass. No, actually, it doesn't. It just comes in a pewter mug.
Do you ever watch a Disenchantment? It was the same people that made.
I vaguely remember it.
There was the one time where they were like the main character was like a known alcoholic, and they were just like, "Here," she's like, "Here, drink this," and they handed to her in a bowl, and she's like, "Wow, this is the best soup I've ever had." They're like, "That's whiskey."
I'm sure that's like all year.
Just so funny.
I'm just trying to take a mushroom wine.
I love that it was an Arrested Development, and mother came over. She was like, "What do you want, mom?" He's like, "Vodka rocks. It's breakfast, mom, and toast."
right. Sorry, and toast. So yeah, you can hear that they're kind of poking and prodding each other. Some of them think that nothing is wrong. Some of them think people are overreacting. While others, especially on the Stonemasonry Guild side, are like, "There's no fucking way that he's not trying to put somebody else there that he wants in that guild." They're thinking that he's just trying to get rid of Kullaroon.
Like the earlier thing I was thinking of, I was like, "Oh, maybe I could do a performance," but I'm like, "I don't know if I want to do that here right now." "Come on, guys, how about a song?" And then,
you know what would fix our bad attitudes? A jolly tune.
Who here likes show tunes?
And that's when the rain of mugs came.
Please. Throw a rock at that man.
Please no.
Put our differences aside. Beat that man.
Beat that man, bloody.
I've brought everyone together.
And separated all my bones.
But yeah, so nothing's happening yet, but you can see that things are starting to like
bubble.
Light up.
Oh, they're bubbling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, you'll be there for a bit. Just keep checking on things right now. Also, seeing if there's anyone, like, kind of shifty, you know, kind of, like, trying to instigate shit.
So, if we're going to move back into where we're, like, going to rest for the night?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was just, that was just the afternoon. I wasn't, like, going to stay too long.
Yeah. You know, that was like the afternoon into evening, so you guys would meet back up at that point.
Okay.
So it's the morning now, you said? My bad.
It's still the evening. You guys have met back up.
I got one thing. One thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much I can currently help you with this sabotage situation, but I think I can help you with your guard, missing guard situation.
Well, how is that? You have some underground network that you could consult of informants?
Something a little less barbaric. And he pulls out a picture that he had his brother draw of... What was his name?
His name was... Osen. Osen was the missing brother of Enric, I think was the one that was crying. Yeah.
So it's a picture of Osen. He holds it out in his hand, and it catches on fire. Ash kind of pools in his hands as it goes, and he rubs it in his hands into this ash paste, which he spreads over his eyes. And with an incantation, he casts Scrying.
Ooh!
Gotcha. Oh, sick!
And then part of me is also like, and then he catches the picture on fire, and then somewhere in the city you hear someone screaming.
Follow the screams!
Oh, caught him on fire. There he is.
There he is.
You magically spy on a creature of your choice. Scrying works like a clairvoyance, except the image you receive is less precise. Insufficient for teleport, so I can't just scry and then teleport to where the guy is.
Yeah.
Instead of creating an eye set at a location within 500 feet, instead you create a magical eye that manifests just above the target's head. You can choose either by name or by touching one of his possessions or a piece of his body, which I didn't get to. If you haven't met the target in person, the scrying DC is too low. If you're unaware of the target's identity, which I'm not, or I am aware, DC plus 10. This is a will save that this person needs to make.
Right. Okay.
I forgot they get a save. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Let's see what kind of save Osen's got. Is he master of will?
Okay. And when what was your DC?
32.
Okay.
And it's his will is too lower because I have so much information about him.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Okay. What happens on a success?
The spell succeeds. I see a magical eye that is placed above his head. I can look down at him, and I can see the surroundings within a reasonable area, but I cannot... I can see where he is, and I can see what's happening, but I couldn't, like, teleport to the air.
No, of course not, yeah. So,
sick.
Let me... Okay. So what you see is the ash shakes off your eyes, and all of you see him, and Sandor's eyes are like completely like glowing this gray. They're glowing with this like bluish gray as his and he is just like not, he can't see you. Like if you wave your hand in front of his face, he can't see you at all. And Sandor, what you see is that the fog clears and the ash falls off your eyes, and all of a sudden you're looking at someone, looking at some dwarf, and he appears to be at a table, and it looks like he's just playing cards, or he's playing some kind of like dice game or something. It looks like he's just chilling, and he's got another dwarf next to him, and he's got another dwarf in front of him. But then you look, the dwarf that's in front of him is not a dwarf, but another Hringar.
Fuck. Oh no. Okay. As this is happening, Sandor can't physically see people in front of him, but he is literally talking out loud, describing everything to them as it's happening.
Yeah.
And I think when he gets to the Hringar, he just hesitates for a second, and then he tells them what he's seeing.
And then, at a certain point, as they are playing this game, they're sort of bantering back and forth. You see that, like, one of them clearly tried to cheat, and then Osen, like, smacked his hand. And then, you know, he took a knife and like stabbed it at the guy's hand, but it went in between his fingers, and then he's just like, "That's mine, and you know it." You can tell that they're not friendly even to each other. And then, at a certain point, a female human walks in. I'm going to show this. I don't know if I can show it to just all of you guys, or if I can show it to just Sandor.
Just send it to me. If you can get it on Discord, just send it to me there.
Hold on. Let me try that.
It's an
orang. Sandor, you said there's a woman. Give me the description. You've described everyone else in such vivid detail except this one person. Why aren't you telling us?
Sketch her out.
Here's a drawing pad.
Kezra can do a crafting check for art. I mean, we could make this realistic.
Okay, John, I just sent you what she looks like. The art that I have for her.
Is she pretty?
She...
Abros.
Robe.
Oh, that was me.
Is she blonde, single?
That was
blonde
me.
Blonde human woman, shoulder length hair, robed, apron, potions around her belt, holding up a bottle that is glowing like a torch.
Yeah. So this...
Yeah, I can hear through it.
Can you hear through it as well? I would assume so. Okay. So she... comes in, opens up the door, and she's like,
"Keep your voices down."
And then slams the door behind her.
Okay.
She seems hella mad that they were causing too much noise.
All right.
Well, the last time we fought an alchemist, we made them our friend. Maybe there's another friend here.
The spell lasts 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you would see. Like I said, you saw them playing the game. She came in, told them to quiet down. They were being too loud, and then slammed the door behind her.
All right, Jake, we can play 10 minutes of this poker game. We'll each get new characters, and we'll just game.
Okay.
That's all you would see there.
Spell fades. It looks like your guard is alive.
Well, that's a relief. Is he in good health?
Seem to be.
But with some unsavory characters, by the sound of your description.
Yeah.
It seems he's in deep.
Was there any markings in the building that look familiar at all?
Did anything look familiar to Sandor?
No. Okay. No. Oh.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't know every building, but...
Everybody knows. Wizards know every building. Everywhere.
You can't go, well, there's a sparrow with a spear through its heart on the door.
We're underground, for fuck's sake. Nah. All right. First sixth-level spell Sandor's cast, by the way.
Ooh. Hey. Ooh. I mean, what a sixth-level spell. That's amazing.
I saw that spell. I was like, I gotta take this. And then Jake was just like, all right, there's a missing person. I'm like, yes!
Finally.
I mean, it was gonna be
soapy.
See, here's the thing. I was two different things. Either he's alive or I was expecting Jake, and you're like, and then the eye shows up, and then he's dead on the side of the road, and you're like, oh.
He's just split in half.
He's just caught. He's just dead. And you're like,
for some reason, the eye appears, and you look down, and there's a patch of earth that has recently been turned over. Oh, no.
Whoops. Well, I have good news. He's not corrupt.
He's dead.
Bad news. He's dead. He'll never do anything bad in his life ever again.
Well, it's either that or they'll just throw him into the lake. I mean...
No, what's that old joke? It's like, I'm sorry, very sorry to tell you this. Your brother's corrupt. All your fears were true. Oh, my God. No, I'm just kidding. He's dead.
So, because you can hear with scrying, is there an implication that you could scry hop? So, like, next time you could scry one of the people that you saw in the scry?
I don't know any of their names.
Yeah, you need to know their names.
Theoretically, yes, but it would be much harder.
Like, hey, Johnny! And you're like, oh, I know that guy now.
Yeah. So once a day, you just need to scry Osin, see what he's up to, and
make sure he goes to the DMV, or the DMV, the Dwarven Department of Motor Vehicles, so that way... When he's signing all that information, you can be like, oh my god, I have so much. I can scry this guy forever.
Look, he wrote down his employer, Scarlet Triad.
wait, we have their EIN. We have their EIN. So yeah, you now have confirmation that he is alive, just not in good company.
Bad company, you would say.
Kesra. Did you want to break the news to your lover?
Jesus, that escalated.
Damn.
We don't need to tell him anything.
It was very kind of you to protect his heart.
Oh no, I just have no intention of finding him. Telling him's not going to help us find this guy. He'll turn up, whatever. Or he'll die.
Alright, let's get some sleep.
Alright, you have a little snooze. Honk shoe. You guys have a peaceful slumber. You get a dream message, Sandor. It's like, ugh, I'm so hungry, Sandor. just get that Chipotle.
You can teleport anywhere in an instant, just like me. Go get it yourself.
I'm sure you can respond to the dream message, so.
I think you get 20 words, if I remember.
The archmage is counting them out. Sandor, I'm so hungry. Where's my Chipotle?
Remember, and he starts listing out the ingredients, but it gets cut off, so. he needs a Chipotle. He's starving out there.
My spells are powered by beef on tortillas.
That hot honey chicken.
It's overpriced crap and you know it.
Alright, you guys, you wake up well rested. It does not appear that any fights broke out over the night, but you hear some mumblings when you wake up of people kind of like at each other. Not that anybody swung, not that anybody tried to kill each other, but you know there was some banter back and forth, there was some bickering, there were some accusations.
Well, the temperature will keep rising at this rate, but where are we supposed to go now at this point?
Well, we should probably get ready for this stakeout.
That reminds me, I need to go get my weapon from Goldbeard.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Alright, so you guys prepare for the day. You can go get your mace as early as possible. I don't really have anything for you guys to do if you just want to fast forward to it.
Oh, Goldbeard, how is it coming along?
It's done. I appreciate the business.
Make quick work of that.
He hands you the Morningstar back, and then he has his hand out for money.
Ah, but first, we know what's been going around. I must test it.
Drops it.
Just drops out of the ground and see if it breaks down.
Throw it as hard as you can against a stone wall.
Do you have anywhere close by that I may practice wielding this?
Hey, if you want to go out into the yard, you can see out there.
And you can see that there's some wooden dummies out there that are chopped up and battered.
I'm going to need something a little stronger than this. Any dummies made of stone?
You want one of those, do you?
And he grabs a wand and he does stone shape.
Oh, sick. So the Morningstar used to have like kind of the deep like veins of purple running through it from the the death drinking rune.
Yes.
You can see that those have all been stripped out, and in its place is what looks like a regular old like mace, but as Garn kind of drags his finger along the lines where the runes would be drawn, you can see that there is a light shimmer that appears to the touch. And as he kind of grasps it around the handle, you can see like a little shine where his hand touched, and he raises the Morning Star, and he gives a big crack at the stone. And for the perceptive, you can see that it wasn't the Morning Star that made contact first, and a blast of force scatters the dust around as it makes contact. You know, like in anime when you like you hit something hard and there's the impact and then the around it.
Yeah.
So totally demolishes the stone dummy with a as Garn has gotten an impactful ruin affixed.
Ooh,
very cool. So it thrums with pure magical energy. And I get to deal an additional 1d6 force damage on a successful strike. And on a crit, I get a free push of 5 feet. If they fail a fortitude save.
That's pretty baller.
Yeah, that is awesome.
It is incredible. So just 1d6 force. So if nothing else hits in this strike, if they're immune, if this creature is immune to everything, I know for a fact I got 1d6 force going through. So he picks, you know, brings it back. This will do. This will do just fine. Thank you, Goldbeard. And he drops a sack of gold on the table. You could keep the change.
What? he just counted really quickly to see what the hell you paid him with.
I paid him exact change.
Okay. You keep the change, and it's like 2 extra copper pieces. You're like,
right?
Well, you man.
I'm being generous today. Okay, so you have a sweet upgraded Morning Star, more to your liking, I'm sure.
Yeah, that rune cost me a pretty grand.
Oh man, okay, yeah that's a
yeah. That was one of the cheaper ones when you get high level. I was looking at some that were like 3,000. I was like, not that one. That's pretty cool, but not that one.
Okay. Do you guys want to fast forward to the stakeout?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys get to the guild where all of the and the surrounding area where all of the smiths have their own smithies. There's like forges and stuff all around. How do you guys want to approach this? What's your idea? What's your plan here?
I think we would have to split up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Because there's, you know, if we're all consolidated into one spot, I mean, then we're not going to see anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think Kezra could take some sort of an aerial view. Like, he'll fly up to whatever the tallest nearby building is to kind of see things from above.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and depending on the range, I can have Luca kind of also scout out as well. Because I can see through him.
Okay.
Right.
So, and like his perception's my perception, but like I can have him out and we can both be looking.
Okay. So go ahead and I want each of you to make me perception checks. And this will just be to see who rolled highest here.
Dang, this is our first dice roll of the night, brought to you by Black Oak Workshop.
We're the hour into the episode, cool.
Well, I can say with great confidence, Sandor doesn't see shit.
Maybe he only sees shit.
There's shit everywhere.
Dwarven dog poo. All the dwarf dogs down here.
Yeah, the dwarf dogs, yeah. The Sandor falls face first into a pile of dwarf dog poo, and he's knocked out cold.
Happens.
We got a 34.
Kez got a 32.
I mean, I got a natural 3 on the die, so I can tell you what it is.
Yeah. But so, each of you guys are hanging out somewhere. And, you know, there are some taverns around and stuff like that. So it doesn't look weird that you guys are hanging out. You know, people, you know, take their drink out in the street and, you know, we'll kind of mosey about. Mark, Ambrose notices that there's one person that seems to be working late this evening. You can still hear the clanging of the hammer.
Okay. So, you'll stealth closer, I guess, to it. I mean, his stealth isn't bad. Actually, no, a new day, so he can turn invisible.
Okay. So you go, woof, turn invisible, and you approach, and there is a, it's one of the bigger smithies that are around, and it looks like, a female dwarf is fine-tuning some stuff. It looks like she's working on a very delicate project. It looks like some sort of like thinly made short sword, sort of like a, or maybe like a stiletto. You know, like a very delicate looking weapon. Right. And so you can tell she's got like a small hammer, and so she's probably banged it out to shape, and now she's sort of like refining it. And so she's just ting, 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 ting. And she looks at it in the light, and she kind of puts it at an angle to kind of, like, you know, get the light on the edge. And then she's like, no. And she puts it down and keeps going. And she seems very, very dedicated into whatever she's working on right now.
Okay. I mean, he'll stay only as long as the invisibility lasts, but it just seems like she's a perfectionist.
Yeah. It it seems that way. Yeah.
I mean, it's basically like she's not just putting the sword off to the side and going, okay, well, Lulu, she's like reshaping it and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. You can tell that, like, if there's like a small bend in it, then she puts it under some more heat and sort of fixes it and stuff like that. She seems very, very meticulous in working on this.
Okay. So it doesn't seem like she's the saboteur.
No. And there's a certain point when she continues working and she looks down at it, and then she like looks kind of proud about her work, and then she looks up and she's just like, where'd everybody go? Oh shit, whoa, what time is it? And she like looks outside and she sees that like nobody else is there. She's like, oh god damn it, puts her coat on and like walks down the street. She was just like hyper-focused, ADHD hyper-focused on like making this thing, and just, you think she just lost track of time.
Oh yeah. Does she lock up?
Yeah. She locks up and stuff like that. And she's just in a hurry to get out. She didn't realize where the time went.
Okay. Cool.
Garn, you are looking around and you're hanging out and you're, you know, maybe keeping in the shadows or, you know, just talking with some people and just sort of keeping an eye out on all the smithies that you see ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And about an hour to 2 hours goes by of you guys doing the stakeout. And you see what looks like a light goes on in one of the smithies that's like way in like the center. So it's like way out of the way of like the normal foot traffic.
It would be nice if someone could cast a spell on me, but Kezra's so high up, I don't even know if I'd know where.
You would know where I am. I wouldn't be hiding from you. I'd be keeping like an explicit eye on all of you. So,
okay.
There's a giant bat up in the avern. Get it.
So I mean, you would think that you could get my attention pretty easily because I'm watching you guys as best I can.
Okay. So Garn kind of stares off in the direction where he knows you are, and he holds his hand up to his head, and he holds his hand to you because level 12 war priest Garn had a message spell. So he tries to cast message to talk to you. And he's just like focusing for like a solid, like, you know, minute. Like, and he just like, he just looks down at his hands, just once again, like so confused, like really not understanding what's happening. And he just kind of mumbles to himself, must be this cursed place, severed my connection with Torag, with Gorum. Ugh, God, please sound like my cousin, I can't even think straight. And so he kind of hobbles.
Torag be praised.
So he goes and he scampers off to where Kezra is by foot, like a peasant. And he sidles up to where you are, and he's like, so you know, he's having to climb, you know, this building.
You don't have to climb up to me. I can just fly down to you if you just get my attention.
Well, he doesn't want to be loud.
You don't understand.
You can wave. I'm watching for you. You can turn to me.
You're just
like...
watching Garn. You're just watching Garn climb this building like a fool.
Doddering old man.
Bro, what are you doing?
And then he goes, Kezra, I see something down below in the center. A light.
Why are you here?
Go invisible. Check it out. I need you have the magics. I am too tired to go down there now.
Oh my god. He just like grabs you by the back of your breastplate and like flies off to the and lands back where you started.
I mean, I was after you're like, Ken Kesher just goes up 100 feet, drops gone.
Perfect. It's only 50 damage.
Did you? And like kind of like as we're maybe we're flying or maybe after we've landed, like, did you get my message? I tried communicating with you.
No,
I did not feel the magics.
I could see you standing there looking magics. Like you were trying to poop your pants.
Well,
very successful.
Unfortunately not. I have not had as much fiber down here as you would think.
Oh god, I don't need to know this.
You know, when you get to,
it's all mushrooms and crabs.
When you get to my age, because there are some things you have to start paying attention to. Tell me, have you gone in for a screening by chance?
just show me where he saw the light.
So I point to the direction of where the light is. Go, use your magics.
All right. You want some invisibility?
I'm sending you. Like, what's your stealth? Mine's a 15.
Oh,
I don't think mine's that great.
Mine's a 15.
I think, like, I have armor on, I'm clanky, like, I'm kind
of
like...
Okay, I just cast invisibility along on both of us.
Oh, cool.
And then Kezra will go ahead.
I'll go ahead.
Alright.
Okay. You guys walk up to a very small forge. It's a very, very humble shop, let's say. And you go up and you see the name, and it's just this Brigvin's, like, across the front of it. It's a very, very small sign just hanging. It's like this guy looks like he sort of just started, maybe. And you see a dwarf who is in there, and he is... tinkering away at a sword, a short sword, and he seems like frustrated with like what's going on here. Let me show you a picture of this guy.
Is that important? Ah.
Yep.
Well, damn.
So
well, handsome.
So yeah, he's got a lot of grays. He's got some like scars and, you know, wrinkles in his face and stuff like that.
He looks my age.
Yeah. I would say he's about your age, actually. He's wearing just like a leather tunic with some metal facets in it and stuff like that. Blue tunic underneath that. And it sounds like as he's like working, he's like looking down at it, and he's looking off to the side, and he's like, no, that's not it. It's not it at all. How did they do that?
Kezra, did you hear that baby?
He's got a
baby in there.
Oh, I left my baby in the forge.
It's what dwarves do, man. They start them young forging.
So is that how the young dwarves get the ancestry feat that gives them that innate resistance 5 to fire?
Yeah, 5 to fire. Yeah.
Left
him
in the oven.
Left him left next to the forge.
Whoops. Left my baby in the forge.
I guess Kesra wants to stealth in and get a closer look at what he's working on.
Okay, go ahead and roll a stealth check here.
Nails, 34, and I'm invisible.
Right. So you sort of tiptoe in, and you look, and he has a short sword that he's working on, and you can tell that he's sort of forged it, and he's like, he's got like a decent shape, but he has another one to his right that he keeps referencing.
I inspect that one without, you know, it does it appear to be similar to the others?
So this one, you can tell just with your crafting and stuff, this is not his.
Okay.
It looks like he's using this one as a reference, and he's just like, blast, did they do that? And he picks it up and he looks at like how they made the handle, and he's like trying to figure out how they got this like shape into like the crossguard of it.
Hmm. Is it, does it appear to be one of the like the bad daggers, the bad short swords that I was inspecting?
No, but this does appear that it looks as though he's trying to copy whatever somebody else is doing.
So it just appears to be a nice short sword.
Yeah.
The reference one, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Alright, well, I mean, this kind of seems like...
No guarantee it's our guy, but it could
be. Seems like he's just a guy trying to hone his craft. I guess I go back out to Garn.
Just some old dwarf trying to copy somebody else's work. Doesn't seem nefarious, though.
Well, it never seems nefarious. Do you remember all those sports bars that I was getting into? Everything seemed above board. But once I started digging my nose in too deep, they kicked me out because they knew I was onto them. Maybe I will go. I'll go in alone, and I will bumble around like I do. Try to say I got lost, can't find the bathroom or something.
All right, I'll watch the outside here and listen in.
Can you can you get rid of this this magics? I can't exactly be talking for nothing.
He just like smacks you, and the invisibility wears off.
That's all it takes. It's great. No, you need to use a hostile action. That's how you
Guard
do it.
Instinctively smacks back, and then he reveals. Oh,
he's revealed now. Oh, all right. So you're outside of Brigvin's little shop.
So I think I make my presence known as far as like I'm not being quiet. And I'm like, oh, hello, can anyone help me? I seem to have lost my way. Hello, is someone in there?
When you sort of look in, you can see Brigvin is just like, ugh. He's like looking up, and he's just like whispering to himself, just, oh, God. What do you want?
Oh, hail and well met, brother. I'm quite sorry to disturb you at this hour. I seem to have lost my way. I was with my companions, but we took a turn at the Earthfire District. I think they were said they'd go to the Traveler's Quarters, and next thing you know, I find myself here in your company.
It's just south. Just keep walking that way.
Terrible at directions. I was cursed with no sense of cardinal direction. Plus, I can't even see the stars way down here. You see, I'm a surface dwarf. One of those filthy surface dwarves. I know nothing of the ways down here.
You feel like he groans, is almost like he's kind of kind of racist against like the surface dwarves. he's just really annoyed by you now. Like that just sort of like put the cherry on top of just like how much he doesn't like care to talk to you. And
I'm gonna try diplomacy to try to shift the meter.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Tim has a feeling so it isn't like you're a dwarven race.
Okay, I got a 27 against his will DC to see if he can take pity on an old man.
Let's see.
What do you do, Gar?
I've shit my... Please, I'm an old man. So you get the... His attitude does not shift, but he's clearly like, this is like, he looks around, he doesn't see anybody like looking for you, and go ahead and roll me a perception check. Okay. As he starts like kind of, he continues working back and forth.
Okay. Perception check. Ooh, bones on the Black Oak Workshop D20. I got a 37.
Okay. So that was enough to notice that he tried to stealthily move the good short sword that he was referencing into like a bag on his side.
Mm. I see you're doing a little late night reference studying. It's very admirable.
Wait, what? What did you say?
I said you're doing some late night reference studying. It seems like you're trying to hone your craft.
Get out of here. You didn't see nothing.
Well, but the bathroom.
You take a shit on the floor for all I care. Get out of here.
And he holds the bad short sword that he's working on, which is still like kind of red hot. And he holds it at you.
And suddenly Garn just kind of drops the old man front. And he stands up a little taller.
Would you threaten me with that, friend?
I already am.
And he draws the Morning Star. Womp, 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 womp. And you could just see the force womp, womp, radiating off it as he grips it.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
I'll see you guys next time.
Oh, man.
Old person, bye!